chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I started this preaching through the book of Romans because I wanted to preach really about our doctrine of being saved by grace through faith, which is foundational of what we believe as Baptists, and it's a Bible doctrine from beginning to end. And I was going to preach a series on it, but really we can just preach the book of Romans from beginning to end, and it's going to cover it time and time again. I kind of fear, though, as I preach this every week, y'all are going to say, man, Brother Derek just preaches on how sinful we are all the time. Well, that's just who we are, okay? And that's part of the deal. Jesus came because we're exceedingly sinful and we can't be good enough. We can't earn our way there. And that's kind of the point of the gospel, that we can't earn our way there. So look with me in Romans chapter 4. And we're going to be reading the first 12 verses. And the thought really here tonight is that Old Testament folks were saved the same way that we're saved. They didn't earn their way to heaven in the Old Testament, and we don't earn our way there now in the New Testament and where we're at today. So look with me in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision, to them that are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you tonight and we thank you for your goodness and grace. God, as we come before these verses here in the book of Romans, we just want to glory in tonight the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. We don't have anything to boast of or brag about. We know that we are ungodly and unrighteous outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. We glory in Christ tonight and are thankful for his grace. God, be with us tonight. Help us as we see how this applies to us and we can use it. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we look here in these first five verses, we see really that Old Testament saints are justified the same way as us, which is by faith. Now, I say that because a lot of times there's a confusion in the church that some people think because of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament that those things were the things that saved and keeping of the law. But all those things in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the law, all that was just symbolic of the future coming of Christ. Those folks did those things and did them out of obedience to God's word, but they were saved by faith as we are the same way. And so the Bible kind of tells us that. It says there in verse 2 and 3, it says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So Abraham believed God, put his faith in God, and God counted that as his righteousness. Now, this is something that we've got to understand tonight. none of us are righteous. We are counted as righteous. We are covered in the blood of Christ. He looks at us as righteous because of our faith and His work. But no one here is righteous. None is righteous, in fact. No, not one. Everybody in here, if you don't know everybody in here, I'll just go ahead and tell you, everybody in here is a sinner. We're born that way. We choose to be that way. We do it on purpose and we do it on accident. We are just exceedingly sinful people. That is just the reality of who we are. But our faith, God counts as our righteousness. He says in verse 4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Here's the thing. If you're thinking your good works earn your way to heaven, think about it as it says. And listen, I believe the Bible logically. The Bible makes sense. This way here that I'm going to talk about and preach about tonight makes sense. If you think you're being good enough and your good works earned your way to heaven, then when you get to stand before God and He says, if He was to say, "Why should I let you in?" I don't know that that would be the question. But if He did, you would then be able to say, "I deserve to be here. I've earned my way." And He said, out of debt. Does anybody in here want to stand before God and say, "You owe me"? Because I surely don't. I'm not going to stand before the creator of the universe and say, "You know what? You owe me." No, He doesn't owe me. I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it. In fact, we all deserve hell. That's where we deserve to go. But because of Jesus Christ, we have been saved. And so it would make sense. Now, let me tell you this. These folks that believe in a works for salvation gospel, which is every other religion in the world outside of the Baptists and the Presbyterians and maybe a few other little lines of some denominations. So if I didn't mention your name, I'm sorry, you believe in works. They'll never say, "Oh, yeah, we deserve to be here." But that's what they're saying. And I've told them that before. I said, when you die and you stand before God, you just say, "I deserve to be here and you owe me." And they don't want to say that because they know how horrible that sounds. But that's what it is when you say, "Hey, I've done good things. I went through the process and now I deserve it." He also said there in verse 2 that he would have their whereof to glory, right? He would have something to brag about. "Hey, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished." And I want you to know that God's standard is perfection. We don't meet it. Amen. Now, I understand there's good people and bad people, according to our standards, right? And we can rate people, and I can say, "Hey, I'm better than them," or "You're better than that," or "I'm better than my neighbor." But in God's standards, we're all sinful. We've all fell short. And so none of us have anything to glory in or brag about. And even, can I tell you this? Some of those folks that think that they've earned their way to heaven are blind and delusional of how good they are. I know some of them personally that lie, cheat, and steal, and to tell you they're the best people on the face of the earth, you know. And hey, you can twist it and frame it however you want to. The reality is that we're sinners and we need God. Look at what it said in verse 5. "But to him that worketh not," that would be us, we're not working our way there. He said, "but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So I'm just going to tell you tonight, Brother Derek, I am not working my way to heaven. I am not. I have believed on him. Look at who he, I like this. It says there in verse 5, you know who God justifies? The ungodly. Jesus said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." He said, those that are well don't need a physician, but those that are sick. I want you to know tonight that I am ungodly. I am. And God, I have put my faith in the one that justifies the ungodly. And he has saved me and he will save you. And I rest not in my own works or my own goodness. Can I tell you this secret? If I was resting in my own goodness and works, I wouldn't be resting well. But I'll lay my head down tonight knowing that I am resting in the goodness of God and not in my own righteousness. He justifies the ungodly. He doesn't justify the godly. Don't ever get it twisted where you think, as some people have told me, and I'm sure you've heard this before too, I'm going to get my life straightened out and then I'm going to come to God. God doesn't want you to straighten your life out. He just wants to save you as you are. He'll work on you from there. God does work on us and He molds us and He's trying to make us like Christ, but we're ungodly and our faith is counted for righteousness. So, why would I go to heaven? My faith in Christ. I'm sure have y'all ever been anywhere where you shouldn't have, you were kind of out of place. Maybe somebody invited you somewhere and they said, maybe, what are you doing here? And you're like, I'm with them. Y'all ever done that? Like, I'm with them. I know I'm kind of out of place, but they told me I could be here. That's what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Hey, y'all are all out of place. Y'all are all ungodly sinners. What are you doing here? And we're going to say, we're with Him. We're with Jesus. He said we could come because we believed in Him, and that is how we are saved, by grace through faith, not of our works. It is counted to us for righteousness. Again, we're not righteous. Our faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6. So we see Abraham is an Old Testament saint, the father of one of the patriarchs. How did he go to heaven? By believing in God and His Word. Believing in the coming Messiah, believing in this one that would come. We're saved looking back toward it. David, another Old Testament saint. It said, even as David also described the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, let's talk about Abraham and David both for a minute. Great men. Would we all agree? Great men. Abraham, father of our faith. David, the great king. Will we also all agree? Pretty sinful guys. Did some despicable things. Abraham had multiple wives. David had multiple wives. They'd done, if they were living in today, we would have canceled them a long time ago. So these people are crazy. But they've done that. And the Bible says here about David, he said, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and sins are covered. Those of us that are in Christ have our iniquities forgiven. All of my sins are forgiven. The ones that I'll commit tomorrow. You say, you already know you're going to commit sins tomorrow. I'm pretty confident I will. It's hard for me. Hey, you can't come live at my house and not commit sin. I mean, be around my people for a little while. It's going to bring it out of you. But go teach school. I got to go coach some basketball. I'm sure someone's going to bring the flesh out in me. I'm confident I'm going to commit sin tomorrow. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, I can't get from my house to church on highway, whatever, without getting in sin, you know. I'm confident that I'm going to sin. But as I do, my sins are already forgiven. Right, past sins, present sins, future sins. Now, that brings a question up that I'm sure some of y'all are thinking. If all my sins are already forgiven, why do I need to repent now? We repent now to, it doesn't change our relationship with God, but it helps our fellowship with God. Okay, just like, for instance, all my children. They're all going to be my children for the rest of their lives. There's nothing that I can do about it. The rain, I didn't know it was supposed to rain, but as you can tell, it's raining. So, my children are my children. However, there's some things that they can do that would hinder our fellowship as father and son or father and daughter. Me and my wife, we're married. That's what we are. If I offend her, or let's just better say, if she offends me, it would be a problem. But we're going to still be married. But that forgiveness helps our fellowship. And so as we ask for repentance, I'm not asking for repentance to go to heaven. That's already done. My sins tomorrow are already forgiven. I'm doing it to help my fellowship with God and me walking in the light of faith, as we'll see in a little while. So yes, we should still repent. You know when you should repent? Every day. You know why? Because you sin every day. But it's not to earn our way there. And so, yeah, he said, whose sins are covered. Whose sins are covered. My sins that I still commit and will commit are covered under the blood of Christ. When God sees us in Christ, He does not see us as we are. If He did, we'd all go to hell. He sees us covered in the blood of Christ. It is under the blood. Amen. Aren't you grateful for that? You know, I was playing golf one time with a guy. I'll just go ahead and say he was Pentecostal, you know, and he believes in losing your salvation. And we're out there playing golf. And if you want to see me sin, come play golf with me. Amen. I'm sure you'll see me get in the flesh pretty good. And we were picking at each other about getting in the flesh. I may have thrown a club or two, you know. Let me give you a tip if any of y'all ever want to play golf. Throw the club in the direction you're already going. You know what I mean? You got to go pick it up anyway. Don't throw it behind you. Just throw it the way you're going and you can pick it up on your way. But he said, he said something about it, and I said, well, hey, you got to get saved again. That club throw for me was under the blood. Amen. It's already covered. But that's how our sins are there. Under the blood. They're covered by the mistakes that we would make. God knows that we're going to sin. He knows that we're going to fall short, that we're going to make mistakes, that we're going to do things. He knows that. And He has covered us and He has made that provision for us. He has covered our sins. Now, it also says in verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know what that means? He is not ever going to account for my sins. So one day when I get to heaven, He's not going to say, Derek, oh man, hang on a minute now. I got to get the tab out and we got to account for these sins. It's never going to account. That's what that word impute means. He's not going to account for it. Right, He's not going to bring it up. He's not going to say, man, let's look at all the bad you did. You know how some people think that's what's going to be in heaven? A video of all your bad things. That's just not going to happen. Thank God. Amen. That ain't going to happen. He is not going to account for my sins because my sins are forgiven. And unlike me and you, see, I forgive, but I don't forget. Amen. I'll remember. I might bring it back up. And all this. God don't do that. And aren't you glad that we're not God and He doesn't act like us? Look in verse 9 and 10. In verse 9 through 12, we see the word circumcision and uncircumcision more than we would like to read it. But that's what we read. And it says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now, what does all that mean? And I always like to point this out when I can. Before Moses and the law and all this came into be, right? We have things that predate all of that. And salvation by grace through faith predates all that. You know, he's talking about, and when he's talking about circumcision or uncircumcision, he's really talking about Jew or Gentile, what's going on, those that keep the law, that don't. He said, no, this was before all that. Tithing, by the way, was before all that. The Sabbath day was before all that. And so there are some things that I like to point out that it was before law. It's the way it's always been. Marriage before all that. We could go on and on and on. The family and worship and all these things were before the law. And that's what he was saying. So salvation is pre-law. It's pre all the laws that Moses had. This is the way it's always been. Now, in verse 11, he said, and this is what we got to talk about because I know some of y'all are already thinking about it. It said, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Now, what about circumcision and us today? Circumcision in that day was an outward sign that they were the people of God. Well, we do the same thing. Okay? We enter the baptismal waters, which is an outward public sign that I identify with Christ. So we do those things. We still do outward things. They don't save us, but they show the world that we are the people of God. We get baptized. Again, that is one of the signs that we are a believer. Now also, let's talk about good works. Good works. Never, ever, ever let anybody tell you that Baptists, and I'm a big Baptist guy, don't ever let them tell you that Baptists believe that we don't believe in good works. We do. We surely do. The Bible says we were created unto good works, and we should do good works. And no doubt about it that we know a tree by the fruit it bears. And so why should we do good works? Because of the inward work that God has already done in us. He has saved us by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've been saved by His grace and by faith, but because I've been saved, I'm going to do good works. Amen. I think about that tree that we see. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. We all are bearing fruit. Some of it is good and some of it is bad. I mean, some things we're still sinners. Don't be alarmed. I mentioned this morning about Judas, how he had some preconceived ideas. And when Jesus didn't meet his expectations, he turned on Christ. I think some people don't think that if you get saved, that means that you're not going to ever want to sin again. Some people, when they want to sin, people say, they go, "What's wrong with me?" Well, nothing's wrong with you. You still are in the flesh. You're still a human. And just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're not going to want to sin or that everything you do is going to be perfect. But we should do good works. I do have a problem with people who say they're saved, never go to church, never read the Bible. I had one guy tell me one time. Now, this guy hadn't been to church in forever. I'm good friends with him, and he's since moved. He doesn't live here anymore, but he came to church here for a while, and I joke with him sometimes, tell him I need his back tithes and different things like that. I pick on him because I know, those things. But he didn't live a life of light. Did whatever he wanted. Lived in open sin. And I asked him one time about his salvation. And he said, "I've been saved since I was 14 years old. And I've never doubted it one time." And I always thought, I said, "Well, I've been pastoring a church for 18 years, and I doubt mine all the time. Like, I think, like, man, I'm I can't be saved. I'm a sinner, I really question people that are like that. Like, hey, I just do whatever I want, and I don't, I'm not questioning anything. I understand who I am. All right, I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand that it's a struggle and that we live in the flesh and all those things. But nonetheless, you need to have some works. The Bible says we have the fruit of the Spirit. You should be producing some of that. So just, run through the checklist of your life and say, am I producing love and joy and peace and patience and some of these things? And if you're not, maybe there's some work to do. But understand this, that faith is the root of our salvation. Amen. Can't see it, right? You can't see the roots. And good works is the fruit of our salvation. So faith is the root. And good works is the fruit. Got that? Take that home with you tonight. Faith is the root and good works is the fruit. I'm producing some good works. I do a lot of good things. Do I fail? Yes. But I hope that would be the case of all of us in here tonight, that we are doing good things. Yes, we fall short in a lot of areas, and by the way, to each his own. Don't be the Christian who looks down on other Christians because they don't sin the way you sin. Amen. Right? That's what Pharisees do. Well, you don't sin how I sin, so I'm going to look down on you. I've met a lot of self-righteous people. I've met people that have problems with all sorts of things. Everybody's got it. All right? You've got a sin that so easily besets you, just like everybody else does. So let's don't be judgmental on them. Then he says this in verse 12, "And the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which had been yet uncircumcised. Abraham is the father of the Jewish people, but he's also the father of all of us that believe God by faith. Amen. He is our spiritual father. He's the spiritual father of our faith. And you know what we're doing today? We are walking in the steps of Abraham, the faithful steps of Abraham, which is we are trusting God for our salvation. Amen. I'm not trusting myself. By the way, I don't trust myself. Amen. You might trust my kids sometimes said, "Do you don't trust us?" I said, "I don't trust me. How am I trust you?" You know, so I don't trust myself. I know me. I know who I am. All right. But we are walking in faith. We are believing God. Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins, and we're trusting in that. And I'm going to say it again. I've said this bold statement many, many times. I can't go to hell. Ain't nothing I can do. I could do whatever you want me to do. I can't go to hell. You know why? Because I'm trusting in Christ. Amen. He saved me. He's forgiven me. And I know some people don't like to hear that statement because they think that's a... I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus. My faith and confidence is in Him. I have 100% confidence in Christ. I have 0% confidence in me. And I always tell you, if you come to Oak Grove Baptist Church, as long as I'm the pastor, here's what you're going to hear a lot. We have a very high view of God. And we have a low view of man. I have a high view of God in the Scriptures and Jesus Christ. And I have a low view of man. I know what man is. I know who we are. And it makes perfect sense to me knowing that we have to trust in Christ for our salvation. And so let's leave from here knowing that we are not trusting in ourselves to earn our way to heaven. We're not climbing some kind of ladder to get there. Jesus climbed the ladder. He paid the price and we're trusting in Him. But that we should be doing good works. We should be producing the fruit of the Spirit, and that there are outward signs that we do to prove that we are Christians. We are the light of the world, a city that's built on a hill that shouldn't be hid, and people should see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Man, I hope you got blessed from being here tonight. Remember those on the prayer list. Get a reading calendar. Get in God's Word.